I want to talk to you for just a minute. I don't know why, but the Lord laid this verse on my heart just out of nowhere. I was going to go to Romans 12 and preach on the will of God, but as the choir was singing tonight, I felt like God singled out this verse in my mind. And so I want to try, if I can, just to talk to you about knowing them that are which labor among you. Now, we could easily take verse 12 and we could go to the book of Hebrews and take some Old Testament illustrations and talk about the relationship that you should have with the man of God in your life. And I believe without question verse 12 is referencing the man of God, for he does say in verse number 13 that we should esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. But in verse number 12, he doesn't just single out an individual when he talks about and admonishes them. Basically, there is a passion in the statement that Paul is making in the first part of verse 12. He says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. And we could take that so many different directions, and we know that many times the Apostle Paul is talking about financially, you should take care of them and different things of that nature in reference to the man of God. But he's letting us know here in verse 12 that there should be a relationship between you and the people that labor among you in the Lord. I preached about this on Wednesday night to the church that Brother Matthew pastors when I dealt with the subject of Moses and Aaron and Hur and Joshua in the valley, some things that we referred to on Sunday night. The word know here in this verse, it basically means that you need to be aware of them that labor among you. It means that you should have some perception and you should be able to see them that labor among you. In other words, not just see them with the physical eye, but you should see those that labor among you with some perception in your life. Amen. And so there are several things that we could bring out about this knowledge. I believe it implies, according to the definition, that we should understand those that labor among us in the Lord. And so with that, I think that's been broken down in this day in which we live. It seems as if that people will run to all kinds of directions and all kinds of places and run to all kind of people rather than those that labor among them in the Lord, because it seems as if that there is no relationship with the man of God and with the people of God that labor among you in the Lord. I believe that as a individual, as a church member, that you have a responsibility for your sake spiritually to have a perception and a knowledge of those that labor among you. Now, there are many people in this ministry that labor in your behalf. Now, I could say that, of course, the pastor is someone that labors among you. I have never pastored this church in the 25 years, let me rephrase this, in the 25 years that I have pastored this church, for the last probably 3 to 4 years, I have never felt as alienated from the congregation of this church as I have in the last probably 4 years. Now, did I get across that? Did I get that across right? Let me try to rephrase it, make sure you understand what I'm saying. In the last 3 to 4 years of this ministry, I feel like that there has been a removal, or there has been a relationship breakdown between me and the congregation of this church. The reason why I feel that way is because there's been decisions decisions made in the lives of families and in the lives of young people. There have been big decisions made in the lives of people, and they have never even considered talking or conveying their thoughts or their intentions or their desires to me as a pastor and to pray for them. Then things go the bad way. You know, they go in the wrong direction and they want to try to come to me and talk to me about these decisions. And to be honest with you, Brother Crabtree, in my heart, I'm wondering, you know, why didn't you come to me and let me pray with you about it before you made the decision? Why didn't you come and let me talk to you about it and maybe give you some advice? Or maybe send you something, and I may not, Brother Tarvin, have the advice, but I may could send you somewhere that, to somebody that I know's been through what you're going through, or faced with what you're faced with, that could help you get over it, amen, and get through it. Brother Herb made the statement testifying. He made the same statement in the office. He just sat down. We were talking. And here's what he said. And I don't remember all he was talking about. Something about a truck and a trailer or whatever. I can't remember. But he said, you know, he said, you told me to do some things one time and I didn't do it. And it was not anything like read your Bible and pray or witness to somebody. It really was not spiritual counsel. It was just, hey, you know, you ought to do this. This is something that you ought to be mindful to do. And he said, you know, everything you've ever told me to do that I didn't do, that really when he didn't do it, didn't offend me because it wasn't of a spiritual nature. He said, you know, every bit of that that I didn't do was a problem. Always caused me trouble, always was a problem, amen. And I'm not trying to tell you that I'm some kind of priest or prophet. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times, you know, God desires that the man of God have a place in your life. When you are making decisions, he's put him there to have some discernment and some perception to give you some guidance in your spiritual life. There's things going on right now that I could tell you and it'd blow your mind of decisions that people are making. I was talking to a pastor today and talking to him about a situation concerning a church, and here's what he said. He said, people don't care. They don't even regard the Bible. They're not concerned about following scriptural things. He said, churches don't care. Pastors don't care. Preachers don't care. But yet, when everything looks like a bunch of scrambled eggs, we want to try to figure out how to get them unscrambled. But you'll either do it the way the Bible says do it, or you'll follow the precepts of God's word, and you can think, you know, we got this mentality that because we're sincere and really down deep inside, our heart is to do right and our heart is to do what God wants us to do. We think that sincerity that God is going to bless it. But when we go contrary to the Bible and the principles of this book, we can't expect the blessings of God. But that's not what I'm trying to say tonight. The point that I'm trying to make is God has put people in your life. And if those people are right with God and they are laboring among you in the Lord, you know, you should be interested and put a great value on the advice, counsel, and direction that they would give. Amen. Amen. Now let me say that to you that labor. To you that labor. Let me say that all of you, and we've got some young ladies teaching in the school now. And you know what you are doing as a young lady, Miss Rebecca, Joanna, and other young ladies in this ministry? You know what you are doing? You are laboring among them in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, you may know math and history and science, and you may have all of that in order, and you may be able to communicate it in such a way that a student could retrieve that information and gather it in their mind, and in gathering it in their mind, be able to duplicate it on a test and succeed in life in some vocation or some realm of academics. But what you need to understand that in the realm of Christian education and what we're doing in this ministry, Miss Amy, that when you sit down with whatever level class you're sitting with, whatever student, what age group they are, that you are laboring among them in the Lord. Now Miss Joanna's got to realize that. Miss Thryn's got to understand that. And then the student has to understand that. When Brother Keith goes into a Sunday school class and begins to teach that class, he is laboring among you in the Lord. You should know them. Now let me ask you this. Do you want them to know you? I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of preachers, they don't want their congregation to know them. They want to be very distant. Amen. They don't want the congregation to know them because they're afraid of what they'll find out and the level of respect that will nosedive. But every Sunday school teacher in this building, every preacher, Brother Jim, every individual in this building, Brother David, that labors in the Word of God and in doctrine and teaches and is a part of the ministry of this church, what we need to understand is that they labor among them in the Lord, and in that there should be an esteeming of that labor for their work's sake. And they, the staff, amen, needs to understand that they're laboring in the Lord, and the student and the Sunday school student and the Sunday school teacher and the pastor and all across the board, the youth detention work, the prison work. When Brother Tarvin organizes a revival meeting and gathers y'all together, when Brother Jenkins and Brother Borders gets a group together to go to Fort Knox, and there is a labor there and there is leadership there, we better understand that that labor is in the Lord. If it's in the flesh, it's worthless. It's of no value. It's not going to reach anyone. But somebody better wake up and understand that when we labor in the Lord, it is a serious matter. Amen. So, the students in the school should be able to know the teacher. And the church members should know the pastor. And the Sunday school teacher should be known of the students in the class. I don't know next month who may be hurting. And you're there with them for whatever time frame you're with them. And they may need to say, look, I got a question. And I need some help. And it's not about science or math. The question I have doesn't have anything to do with history or English. It's got to do with me. And they should expect from you a walk with God. Amen. They should expect from you an ability, Brother Grubbs, to answer a question that would guide them. Amen. In the direction that God would be pleased with.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know what's happened across America in churches, but I'm going to tell you what, I've had members from this church get counsel from other pastors. I mean, numerous times I've had that happen. And wouldn't come to me. You know what, I'm going to tell you why they wouldn't come to me. It's because I am their pastor.
Right. Exactly right.
And that man of God could be a whole lot better preacher, Brother Justin, He can be a whole lot better pastor. He can know more about the Word of God than I would ever know. And he could be able to unveil truths better than I could ever unveil them. But the reason why they would go to another man is because he's not the pastor. Does anybody know the reason why? Because of that position and perception that that man has in your life. Because the pastor down the road that's not your pastor, and the individual down the road that God the Holy Ghost hath not made an overseer in your life, he's going to see things the way you want him to see them. He's going to see things in your perspective.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that's what you're looking for, or you wouldn't go there to start with. He'll see things the way you, even though he may, if it's an overseer or whatever, he may be a man of God that would rebuke sin or whatever. But still, Brother Steve, he's going to see things the way you want them to be seen. Otherwise, you'd go to the man of God that's in your life. Amen. You know what you should know about the staff here? You should know the junior high and high school. You should know what Miss Valerie Thren wants. You should know what she wants. You should have such a relationship with that lady as a staff member in this ministry that you should know as a student what she wants. Beyond what she wants in English or history or what, you should know that there's something down deep in her heart that she wants. Amen. You should know what I want. I find myself, John, repeating this statement when I sat down with people over issues. I would say, Josh, I would say, all I want to see you do is live for God. And I want to see a lot of other things, but you know, with your life, but the primary focus that I have for you young ladies and you young men is to live for God. And I hope tonight that you know that. There is no other motive that I have in my life than that you live for God. Now, if you can settle that in your life and know me well enough that you know what I want and you know what my will is, and you can settle in your heart and mind what Miss Thren wants and what Miss Thren's will is, if you can settle in your heart and in your mind what Miss Sheila's want and will is for your life, then you can build a relationship with someone that is laboring among you in the Lord, and you will respect them and esteem them highly for the work's sake that they are involved in your life. And you can buy them. Are you listening to me now? Is everybody listening to me? You can buy them and through them be prosperous and productive as a child of God. You should know how they walk. Do you want people to know how you walk? When you labor for somebody in the Lord, you're walking. They need to know how you walk. They need to be able to have confidence in you in such a manner that they know how you walk, they know what you want, they know what your will is. Amen. They should know what kind of witness you are. Is anybody listening? They should be able to know that your ultimate goal in life, amen, is to manifest the personality of God and to glorify God in your life, to magnify the Lord Jesus in the things you do and the way you live your life. And they should be able to know, they should have a relationship with your walk. They should have a relationship with your witness. They should have a relationship with your will. They should be able to have a relationship, amen, with what you want in life. That's how serious this thing is of laboring among the people of God in the Lord. They should have a relationship with your worship. Amen. I realize everybody's personality is different. And I realize that everybody's does things different. But you don't worship different.
No.
You worship in spirit and in truth. That's the only way you worship. And that's it. I mean, I wish, well, I got my own way of doing it. You may have your own way of building a house. You may have your own way, amen, of getting to church. You may have your own way of making biscuits. You may have your own way, amen, of changing an oil in your car. You may have your own way of doing a lot of things, amen. You may have your own way of dressing and taking a bath and all kinds of things. Amen. We have our own way of doing it, but you do not have your own way of worship. You worship in truth and in spirit, or you worship in, amen, unscripturally. And so tonight, I shouldn't have a problem with Willie having a relationship with me in worship. That doesn't mean he testifies every time I testify, raises my hand every time I raise my hand, or shouts every time I shout, but he should have a relationship with my worship. Amen. If Brother David worships God, amen, I may not be jumping up and he say something to me, say the same thing right behind him, amen, and do my hand like that and shake Brother Jim on the back, amen, and nearly slap Miss Cole upside the head. I mean, I may not do it, but I ought to be able to relate to it, amen. I have a relationship, amen. And somebody worships God, amen. I'm telling you what, somebody begins to shout and magnify the name of the Lord, amen. It ought to stir my heart. And I tell you, if it doesn't, there's something wrong with me, or there's something wrong with their worship. Now, I have been in meetings before, and people, amen, get to carrying on and acting in such a way I thought they were the prophets of Baal. Amen. Some of the things they was doing wasn't scriptural. Didn't have nothing. I seen a fellow one time running around the building, amen, in a camp meeting, and they said he took a dive. I seen him running around the building, but somebody told me that they had a great old big pot on the platform one time, and he dove head first in the pot. Couldn't get out. Feet sticking straight up in the air. Kicking back and forth. Amen. Are you listening? And he had said the Spirit told him to do it. Well, I'd say, well, I guess the Spirit and let you breathe while you're in there. Amen. Because I'd lift you in there and let you suffocate. Amen. I've seen a lot of things, and it grieved. I've seen, Brother Joe, we've been in meetings before, and somebody do something, somebody testify, and grieve my spirit. I couldn't relate to it. Wasn't no relationship there. They wasn't magnifying the Lord. They were just telling some story. Amen. Amen. Just talking to hear themselves talk, and it didn't have any significance to worship. It had nothing, amen, to do with magnifying the Lord, exalting the flesh, or magnifying their own self. But I'm going to tell you what, I've been in meetings and folks stand up and say, preacher, I want to say I'm glad I'm saved, and get to testifying, amen, and there's something rise up in me. I wanted to jump around their neck, amen, and praise God and say, just keep on magnifying the Lord, glorify Jesus, exalt his name together, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep, amen. They ought to know my worship. They ought to be able to have a relationship with it. Is everybody with me? Amen. They, some people, amen, get to shouting, and it just does something for me, amen. I don't know. Folks get to worshiping God, and the Lord moves on them, amen. I can remember people in my past and see God get on them, and I don't know. I mean, I want to relate with everybody's worship, but every now and again, there'd be somebody cross your path, and God would get to blessing them, and I'm telling you, it just get all over me and bless me beyond measure, and I'm telling you, buddy, I'd weep and rejoice with them and thank God for it, amen, because I had a relationship with their worship. Worship, know them that labor among you. You need to build a relationship with those that labor among you. And I promise you, I think we have a level of maturity here tonight in our staff that if someone came to you And it got deeper than what you could handle, that you would give them advice to say, look, you need to go talk to the man of God. Whatever happened to the man of God in people's lives? I've had phone calls from preachers that tell me things about the members of my church that they had talked with them, and I didn't hear nothing about it until I confronted those individuals. So-and-so called me and said, you're thinking about what? And I said, how come you didn't tell me? Why did you not come and ask me to pray with you about it? Do you think that I'm not for you serving the Lord? Do you think that I am not desirous of you living for God and being productive? There's something bad wrong with that. There's something really spiritually sick about it.
Amen.
I want you staff to understand that you are all you ladies at this school, and we're having a good time. I mean, I am enjoying myself, and there's been some changes made as far as the staff flipping around. Some of them, amen, I realize is you know, filling it out as they go right now, and next year will be a little bit easier for them probably, but I'm on the same page they're on in a lot of ways. And but I'm telling you, I'm enjoying myself being here with the students and the people of God and serving the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're in trouble, you don't have to worry about disrupting anything if you need to talk to somebody.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you ladies something, all of young and old, Miss Rebecca and Miss Thryn, my wife, Miss Ann, there's some elderly ladies that's been serving the Lord in here, but I'm going to tell you younger ladies something. Don't just push them off on Miss Ann or my wife. Or say, why don't you go talk to Miss Thryn about that? I'm going to tell you, you need to start developing right now. Walk with the Lord to such a degree that you understand the importance and significance of walking with God and laboring among them in the Lord. Listen to me. You are laboring among people in this church in the Lord. Do you get that? Here's what he says now. He says, I beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Amen. So I think what we need to do tonight is we need to make sure that we understand that we have a position of leadership, and nobody, listen to me now, and I was just going to give you a thought, but it's turned more into, I'm going to close everything up right here, which means absolutely nothing, amen, I guess. You listen? We need to understand that we are laboring among them in the Lord in the realm of leadership. Here's what I've told these young ladies, and Miss Angie has taken on a new role. And here's what I told them. I said, go in and take charge. Smile, have a good time, be excited about it, but be in charge. Amen. I just went over tests the other night, and we smiled, laughed, and had a good time. Some of them failed. It's not my problem. It's their problem. Some of them need to get off a softball field, Brother Jim, and start studying. Some of them needs to get out of an airplane, amen. Or they need to get their brain out of the clouds, one. But we had a good time. I told them what they made. Everybody wants to know, hey, everybody asks, what y'all want to know what you made? Everybody's going, can I know what I made? And then there's some like this. And then finally somebody says, tell us what he made. So I told him. Amen. That's right. That's wonderful, ain't it? Just take charge. But listen to me. Here's where we're at in America. Nobody wants to be in leadership and nobody wants to be led. That's why they call it team leaders or team people. Because nobody wants to feel as if they are under the oppressed atmosphere of somebody in charge that's the boss. And I don't know where that philosophy came from, except that from humanism, amen. But when Miss Valerie Threan steps into her class, she is in charge. She is not your friend, even though she may be your friend, and she may want to be your friend, and you should be able to, amen, treat her as such in a spiritual setting as the household of faith, but she is in charge of the class. And we don't have any problems. I'm just trying to make a point tonight, amen. And if she refuses to be that, then she refuses to be productive. And she refuses, if she's not willing to lead, then she is not going to be able to teach. Amen. Does that make sense? And so what we need to understand, Miss Amy, is that we labor among them and are over them in the Lord. That is a big thing. Big thing. In the Lord. God's in this equation. And some little kid may come up to you and pull on your dress tail. And they may have a tear coming out of their eye. And their lip may be quivering. Maybe just right after chapel or something. And they may say, Miss Bradley, I'm afraid to go to hell. I'm going to tell you what, buddy, you done stepped into a big, big deal right here. I mean a big deal. It's done got beyond 2 + 2 = 4. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? It's in the Lord. And you students and the church that is here needs to have a relationship with those that labor among them. The most sickening feeling and the most hurtful feeling that I've ever felt is when a pastor has called me, and most of them, if they're worth their salt, they're going to call you and say, hey, you know, one of your church members or so-and-so called, and I was just asking you if you know about it. And I'd say, no, I'm sorry. I don't know. They haven't talked with me about it at all. Nothing more hurtful. Nothing that breaks the heart. That's almost like that young man right there going to another woman in this church and asking him questions that he should ask a mother, and how that would hurt you. The relationship's not like it ought to be. And there are people that I've heard this in the last few months. God instituted the home. Yes, God instituted the home. And there's leadership in the home. Yes, there's leadership in the home. There's also a church with a spiritual leader. God has also instituted spiritual authority. If you're going to ride that horse, you're going to have to ride the whole horse. You can't ride half of it. Amen. Amen.